Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to be back with everyone tonight, and I'm expectant. It's a good afternoon. I got to meet the elder Taller, and so not older, elder. And, you know, I see why so much good is in the younger Taller. I think the elder looks younger than the younger. Anyhow, so. But we have a mutual money arrangement where he's going to pay me later for saying that. So, but anyhow, I don't think I was supposed to say that. Hey, listen, I'm so glad you're here. I believe great things will happen tonight. Let's just open our hearts. Can we pray before we get in the Word? Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather. We have the opportunity to gather. For 2,000 years, your people have been gathering. We will never stop. We thank you that we are together, and as we gather, your Spirit is here, your Word is here, and we believe that there will be a gift from you communicated to each heart, each mind will be strengthened, equipped, and encouraged to do all that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Listen, if you have your Bibles, we're going to get right to it. And I want to talk about Pastor Joel. You know, let me know. I love what you guys are doing. Strength and freedom. Man. That's like the winning combination, you know. And I am thrilled to be able to kind of put something into that, add something to it. And I want to talk tonight about financial freedom. But really, you know, Brother Hagin taught us that faith works the same in every area. And so whatever you talk about, it's not just about things. It's never just about things. It's not just about you feeling better to feel better. God loves you. He wants you to be better, feel better. But that vessel is to carry the glory of God to the generation that you're a part of. Your finances are not to be in shambles so that you can't pay your own bills. God wants you blessed, not so that you can buy another gold ring and another, you know, he wants you to be able to further the gospel, right? And so it's good that you're blessed. It's a mark of his covenant, but there's something greater than that, which is generosity. And it's another level. And it's the nature of God. And so God wants to, I believe, do something wonderful to every believer that will respond. And he wants to lift us higher so his purposes can be accomplished. You know, I found out in ministry that this thing is expensive. I'm just trying to identify the preachers, because usually when you say that, a few of them groan and who? And, you know, it's amazing because it takes a tremendous amount of resources to advance the gospel. So I can't remember. I think it might have been Reinhard Bonnke, one of the greatest demonstrations of what an evangelist is in our generation. But he said this is that. And if maybe he didn't say it, but he could have. but it's a true anyway, huh? And so we'll figure it out. By the end of the service, I said it. So, he said that, you know, that the thing about the gospel is that the gospel is like water. And water is free, but it costs money to pipe it to people. And so the water itself is free. The living water is free, but it costs money to get it to people. And so, you know, there's all kind of different ideas and different thoughts about prosperity, but one thing is true is that whether you're a critic or whether you're a proponent of prosperity, you're spending your life trying to get it. So we might as well figure out what God says about it and embrace what he says about it, because then things will work so much better. So I just want to read one verse here in the third epistle of John. I know you know this. I'll probably not read one verse you haven't heard before. But in 3 John and verse 2, he says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." Say all things.
All things.
Not most things.
All things.
You know what all means in Greek, right?
Yeah.
It means all. I pray that you will prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And so God's desire is prosperity, not in some things, but in all things. God wants your life to be marked with his provision. There is some tremendous covenant promises toward us regarding all things. And so God wants you to prosper in your mind. He wants you to prosper in your marriage. He wants you to prosper in your health. He wants you to prosper in your finances. This is the will of God. I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health. And so God, I believe any heart, anybody who's open, he'll lead us into that. And so I just want to share some of my own life, some of the things I learned and some of the things I've experienced. And so I just have three things that I've learned that are really crucial to experiencing prosperity. One thing I found out was that prosperity can be available, but not automatic. Just like everything. Did you know salvation is available, but it's not automatic? After the Holy Spirit was poured out, the Bible never again talks about him having to be sent, but everywhere that the apostles went, they made sure that people received him. And so the things of God are to be received. What isn't received isn't experienced. And so if you want to experience the things of God, you have to receive the things of God. And you're not going to receive them the way you want to receive them. You're going to have to humble yourself and receive them the way that he says to receive them. And so it's really interesting because as a pastor and in ministry, you know, I've been preaching for 20 years. I thought I'd be better by now, but you know, here we are. And I found out that people have the craziest ideas about God. And people come to me and they want to know why things aren't working. It's a wow, where'd that come from? Everybody pray for me. Any moment I might slip into tongues. But they want to know why things are not working. And so I'll talk to them and give them some examples from the Bible, some scriptures. The Holy Spirit will give me a word for them. And then they'll say things like this, well, you know, God knows my heart. As though that exempts them from doing it his way. And so the things of God to be experienced must be received, but they must be received according to his word, because God doesn't change. And we should be thankful for that. I know we want him to change so we can feel like we get something easier, but because he doesn't change, that's our greatest safety. Because the moment you come into alignment with the way he does it, you will never fail. Never fail. I didn't say you won't be challenged. I just said you'll never fail. And you couldn't never fail unless there was an opportunity. If failure isn't an option, then there's no such thing as not failing. But because failure is an option, you can never fail. And so I just want to give you three, well, I'll just call them keys to experiencing prosperity. I'm sure that you can't narrow God down to three keys. But you know, for the sake of time, we're going to just do that, okay? And there's probably more. And I know there's other great teachers, your pastors being some of the best. They'll give you the other keys that you need. But I believe the Lord will take what we talk about tonight and quicken it to you. That's so good what your pastor was saying, because you know, there's been meetings that my entire course changed. Can I be a little bit honest? I'm just going to always be honest, but you know, if you say that, it makes people feel better. Can I be a little bit honest? The truth of the matter is there's been services I've been in that I've yawned for the first half. But then one thing came and quickened my heart, changed my whole course. That's what I needed. And I believe the Holy Spirit would do that. And when we respond to it, big things happen. The first thing that I realized that I need was revelation. You will never prosper without revelation. You have to have revelation. You cannot prosper the kingdom way with the natural mindset. It's impossible. It's impossible. And the kingdom mindset is not available except through revelation. God must make it known. And so I remember in Bible school, I knew the scriptures. I knew the scriptures. It was too clear. You don't have to be super smart to see that it's in there. You read, you see, okay. God wouldn't tell me how to be blessed if he didn't want me blessed. So I knew he wanted me blessed. However, it wasn't happening. And I did everything I knew to do. We ran around the building We were professionals. I had paint stains on my belt from hitting the wall, running. It's hard to round a corner in dress shoes, you know? So we'd hit the wall, you know? And this is a very special place. I mean, we did, and yet I grew up poor. And one of the worst things about poverty isn't that you're experiencing poverty. One of the worst things about poverty is that it gets inside of you. Yes. Poverty is not a monetary issue. It's an internal issue. I don't know if you have here a lottery. You know, in the United States, we have a lottery. Boy, people like the lottery. Now, here, just look forward. Because I guarantee we have people, you know, they're believing God to hit the lottery. You know, well, you know. If you do, just tithe. That's fine. But I'm just saying, maybe if that's how it worked, more Christians would win. I'm glad you came. But if you play the lottery, then just tithe when you win. All right, I'm not trying to discourage your faith. I'm just saying, Pastor Joe will gladly receive the tithe. But listen, what we've seen, you've probably seen the same thing here, because I know nations are different, but people aren't. Yeah. And neither are spirits. Is that people will win more money than they should ever be able to spend in a life. They win enough money that that money should make money for the rest of their life, and yet within a few years, they're destitute. Yet you can take a rich person and they can fail in their business multiple times, but in the end, they'll always get it back. It's because poverty's inside of a man. And the Holy Spirit wants to break poverty in a man. And the first step to that being broken is revelation. Is seeing things the way God sees them. Revelation. So I came to God, but I want to tell you these verses. We'll read these verses real fast in Luke chapter 24. And I just want to emphasize a few things. In Luke chapter 24, you know, Jesus just rose from the dead. And he's having some trouble out of his people, you know. They didn't really expect it. They didn't really know what was going on. You know, you read through the Gospels and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And then he got captured and then he died. You know, it's kind of a big deal. So he came out of the grave. The women went. They found the grave empty. They went back. They told the guys, this is what happened. Peter and John ran to the grave. Ah, it's crazy. And so what's happening here in Luke chapter 24 is that all of this has taken place. And Jesus comes to two guys that are walking toward this town called Emmaus. And in verse 13, it says, behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was that when they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Natural man has restrained eyes. Now, he's not talking about their physical eyes, because you never walk to another town with your eyes shut. Right? At least you shouldn't. So if you don't get anything out of tonight, then you can get that. You don't walk to another town with your eyes shut. He's not talking about their physical eyes. Their spiritual eyes were restrained. Man without God has restrained spiritual eyes. And there's a need for revelation. And revelation is when God opens up to you reality. Yes. So Jesus is talking to him, says in verse 17, he said, what kind of conversation is it? He didn't wonder. He knew what they were talking about. But the will of the Holy Spirit, the will of God, will always be to unrestrain your eyes. So it's never God's will that your eyes remain restrained. God's design is to open them. How many of you believe you can see things about prosperity this year that when you look back 12 months, you'll be so far ahead? God's way, God's way, God's way, that you look back and you think, I can't believe I ever thought that small. I can't believe I ever thought that small. And then you're on a path of constant progress, because once you know it happened once, God's eternal. So it never goes backwards.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God happens to know everywhere that wealth is, because He made the world and He can get it to you any way He needs to. All you need to do is see it. You just need some revelation. That's all you need. And so it says that the one in verse 18 whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem?" In other words, where have you been? Have you not heard? Can you imagine talking to Jesus like this? I'm laughing because my kids talk to me. I'm like, "I'm your dad. You better watch your mouth." Tell Jesus, "Where have you been? What do you think?" They didn't know. And it says that in verse 19 that he said to them, "What things?" And so they're talking to him concerning. So they said to him, "The thing concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him, but we were hoping that he was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all these things, today's the third day since these things happened," talking about the women that came and all of that. And then he says in verse 25, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures," say scriptures, "the things concerning himself." The living word pointed to the written word. The Holy Spirit will always unveil, not something random, not something, He'll always reveal Scripture. The revelation will be based in Scripture. The living Word pointed to the written Word. And He lifted that veil. I remember when I was in Bible school, this is where this journey began for me, because, you know, we're going through, I thought every foreign student was rich, you know. They live, they played soccer, I'm over here working a part-time job at a children's clothing store. Lord, help me. I'm unpacking clothes. My wife, when we had kids, said, "Let's go shop here." I said, "Forget it. I know what those clothes are like. Those clothes are cheap." Sorry, little bitterness there. Because I grew up without. I didn't have. And so I cried out to God, because God dealt with me about what to do after Bible school. And He told me where to go, and it was expensive. And everybody told me. People come to me and say, "Have you heard? Have you heard? Have you heard? That's so expensive. Have you heard? Have you heard?" I said, "Man, you told me, this person told me, that person told me." Then the devil told me. All of you have been telling me the same thing. It's impossible. And so I got frustrated. Now, this type of frustration I actually encourage, because this type of frustration leads to change. I got frustrated from a lack of results. Never accept no results. Never. Never. Get frustrated. Get frustrated. Get out of your comfort zone. Don't tolerate no fruit. Don't do that. Because as long as you tolerate no fruit, the devil will polish your shoes. He'll keep you there. He will make sure you stay there. As long as you're okay with it, he will keep you there. So I said, "You know what? I've been reading all these verses. I've been seeing all these promises. But this is what's happening in my life." Finally, I said, "God, what's the deal?" The Holy Spirit will always lead you out of where you're at into where He wants you to be. He said, "Your problem is that you don't really believe." Well, I thought I did, because I ran around prayer school. You know, and that's what they said. If you rejoice, you know, I'm doing everything I know to do. Did you know you can be doing everything you know to do and still be missing something and need revelation to know what you're missing? Because it's spiritual. He said, "Well, if you believe, when will my word be enough?" And then it hit me. I'm praying because His word is not enough. If His word was enough, I wouldn't be asking, "Where's the money?" I'd know it's there. So two things dropped in my heart. I got a revelation. I need to believe different. These two scriptures were from Psalms 119. One of them was that my eyes awake in the night watches, that I may meditate your word. And the other scripture was David said, "I have rejoiced at your word as one who finds great treasure." I said, Lord, I need great treasure. But you said, when will my word be enough? I said, it's enough right now. I don't need treasure. Treasure comes and goes. I have your word, and that is treasure. And your word will bring all the treasure I'll ever need in my life. Money will come to do your will. And this is such good news to me, a poor person who was raised poor, who's always been poor. This is such good news, I shouldn't be able to sleep through the night. So I set my alarm clock. We lived in, all of us, the same apartment. So I set my alarm clock where I wouldn't wake them up. You know, spiritual things are polite. You know, the Lord's kind. This wasn't their battle. This was my battle. They seemed to be doing just fine, you know. But I needed help. Because I knew I had to move, and I didn't have anything. And so I would go in the living room about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd just jump around. Do you ever shout quietly? If you have kids, you have. Shit, shit. You know, you shout quietly. You're yelling, but you're doing it quiet. I shit, shit. Yeah, if you have kids, you've done it. Boy, I've had lots of shouting. So I'd go in. And you know, it's really bad when you get self-conscious alone. I said, this looks weird. I don't know. I don't like this. It feels awkward. I think someone's watching, you know. But, you know, I had revelation. I began to jump around the living room, and I began to praise God. And I just said, devil, I just want you to know, I know it doesn't look like I have anything, but I have the word. And I rejoice that his word is one who finds great treasure. And I just want you to know that all of your forces are going to have to bow down at this word. And I just rejoice in the living room. Ah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The money will come. I'll never lack for anything. I'll do everything you called me to do. I'm a wealthy person. Not because it looks like it, but because you promised me. Do you know within 2 weeks an opportunity opened up that in that summer after Bible school, I made in 4 months what a professional makes in a year? Yeah, I thought, I think I figured something out. Well, I didn't figure it out. I got some revelation. God revealed to me what on my end was wanting. I got some revelation. Now, I was able to not only go and do, move and pay and all those things, but I was able to give more than I had ever given. And it was so wonderful because people I gave to knew something's not normal. I got a message. Yeah, you know, when you're giving $3 and, you know, and they said, I had somebody message me. They said, what's going on? You ought to give so big people get suspicious. They said, is this legal? Is this legal? Ah! I said, no, everything's good. You know, I'm just doing the will of the Lord. Yeah, because it was so unusual. It was so unusual. God will elevate you above man's ability. And you will be unusual in a good way. Now, I'm telling you, you might look at me and think, well, that's you. No, that isn't. You don't know. I've been where you've, at least where you've been, maybe lower. And so that was a phenomenal thing for me. So I was able to sow tremendous seed. And that blessed me more than what came. But the greatest thing that I experienced from that revelation wasn't the monetary increase, but it was the breakthrough in me. God did something so radical that I never thought that small again. Ever. I broke out of a ceiling. And so, you know, I went on and many wonderful things happened. And you fast forward many years, and I'm pastoring, and you're not going to just need one revelation. You're going to need more, unless you want to stay where you're at. In fact, your breakthrough could become your next ceiling, right? In other words, I've had such wonderful things happen that I had to fight my flesh not to get complacent. Because it's one thing when you have to fight for it in the spirit. But then when you don't, do you keep pressing for new ground? Absolutely you do. So now I'm pressing not because I'm in dire need. I'm pressing because I'm taking everything God has. And I'm not going to let that. I like what T.L. Osborne said. He said, every nation I go to, I stay until the devil knows I'm the boss. Said, this guy with the hair, I like this guy. And so I remember, we're pastoring in 2016, and I'm praying because we're at this ceiling. And I knew I'm missing something. You know, don't ignore that. Amen. Don't ignore that. If you know, man, something's not right, you better pray. Don't just ignore that. The Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention, and He always is after your well-being. Amen. He's never trying to lead you into bondage. He's always trying to lead you into freedom. Amen. Amen. And so, man, I knew something's not right. So I was seeking God. We're at a meeting in March, a leadership meeting. Pastor Joel was there in the States. And man, I'm praying. And God dealt with me about the second key. And that was generosity. Because I realized I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying where I'm at. Things aren't progressing. I'm frustrated. And I found out that time just keeps on passing. So if something doesn't change, I'm just going to be here for as many years as I'll put up with it. And so I'm praying, and I got another revelation. God began, it's funny because I'm praying about increase, and God talked to me about giving. I said, no, that's wonderful. We'll do that. But first, I need more. And, you know, we've always given. But there were times when it wasn't enough, and so maybe we would catch up on our giving. I know you've never done that. Everyone got quiet. Wow, I've never gotten the whole audience at once, but that was good. We'd have a trouble, and I'd say, well, I'll make it up. I know more money's coming, but the bill's due now. There's no due date. I didn't get a letter from heaven. It says this is due. But God began to talk to me about generosity. He talked to me about honoring Him. This was my next revelation. He said, I want you to put me first. I want you to put me first. Now, we're not receiving any other offering. I'm not doing any. This isn't self-serving. I'm doing this to serve you. Amen?
Amen.
Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3? If you want to go to uncommon places, you're going to have to do uncommon things. Everybody wants extraordinary, but not everybody wants to do what it takes to get there. God began to talk to me about this law of honor. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. So that the church can be blessed, and, when you get to heaven, you'll have a reward. No, the reason you do that is so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. There's something about honor and generosity and increase. And so I remember I went home and God began to talk to me. He said, what you do is before anything, you give. Now, I'm not giving this to you. I'm telling what the Lord told me, okay? But I think it's in the Bible. And so I remember, I knew this would have been a direct violation. I knew like I know my name. I'm going to go home, and before anything, before the light bill, before I pay myself, I'm going to honor God. You remember Cain and Abel? The Bible says that one was received and one wasn't. One brought an offering in the process of time. The other one brought the first fruits. So God began to talk to me. I said, every time we in, now this is our personal and the ministry, we are going to honor God. And so I implemented that with no exception. And I'll be honest to you, the revelation of it, that's why I say you need revelation, because it's one thing for me to tell it to you, right? Now, I believe this with all my heart. I believe it's true. I believe it's in the Bible. But unless you get the revelation, it's not going to do for you what it did for me. You're going to do it because I told you to do it. So you're going to have to get this revelation from the Lord. You're going to have to let Him quicken it to your inner man. And that's what happened to me. I was there and He quickened it to my inner man like a download. I saw, if this is where I want to go, this is what I have to do. And so I went home and unquestioning, this is number one. And, you know, we had some challenges, and I thought, you know, I'd love to stand here and tell you that the next 6 months were the most glorious and money rained down from heaven and angels. We had 12 months of some of our hardest challenges. Because if the enemy can rob you of your revelation, he can rob you of your manifestation. Because a revelation is always attached to a manifestation. God never reveals something without intending to perform it. Every revelation, that's why we're talking about obey that quickening. That's a revelation. And that revelation is supposed to produce something in your life. And if he can rob you of it, if he can convince you that this isn't working, this isn't worth it, this isn't the right thing, look at all these. And I'm telling you, circumstances were screaming. And we were taken care of, right? I'm okay. But we had challenges, and it would have been easy naturally, but the revelation was so clear, it was impossible to violate. And so right in the middle, I'm telling you, God can make something so clear in your heart that it doesn't matter what happens out here, you're unfazed. You go forward, you obey, and it'll always result in change. And so that year, I remember we had some challenges. The conference Pastor Joel was talking about in that same meeting, the Lord told me to be in Minneapolis in October. And so I was there, Pastor Joel was there, and man, I'm in the heat of it. And I remember going home, I had to pay $5 in gas on this card and $5 on this card. I'm sure that's never happened to you, but I'm like, all right, how can we get home? It's a 14-hour drive, you know, I need every $5 I can get. And I'm working the banking system. All right, this card's only going to hold a dollar, and so I can get some money in by Monday. But it was a revelation to sow, to honor God. To prioritize God. And so I remember regular. We did that. And, you know, that meeting, we had a prayer meeting. And I remember the Lord strengthened my heart. We talked this morning about strengthening. I'm in the middle of a battle. I've got a wife and two kids. You know, we've got some attitudes popping up in the church. And I'm praying, and God showed me. I saw in the spirit what was happening and what would come. I saw the forces of darkness at work, and I saw God's angels at work. And God assured me His forces will prevail. Amen. Now, that's 6 months in to a 12-month fight. So 6 months, I held on to that next word. I said, all right, God, it's on the way. I'll not flinch. I'll not bow. Almost 12 months to the day, everything broke loose. Our weekly giving exceeded our monthly income. I said our weekly giving exceeded our monthly income. What we gave now weekly, come on, God says they are not going to budge. These guys are not going to budge. Come on, in other words, there are spiritual laws. And God began to increase us and take us further and further. That doesn't mean we don't have challenges still. Come on, there is no shortage of challenge. But I found that this case is true in every situation, whether you need provision, whether you need health, there's always revelation. You need a revelation. In this was my action of faith. Come on, it's a statement of faith to say, God, my generosity to you, my faithfulness to you is greater than my loyalty to circumstances. I'm telling the world and every devil that my faith is in God.
Amen.
I believe God. God's my source. God's my source. Every time we wrote a check, God's my source.
Amen.
Circumstances aren't Lord. Jesus is Lord. I'll never go under. Jesus is Lord. And so we continued to do that. And then God began to talk to us about some other things and bring us into some new. And I could tell you just different situations, supernatural situations where money would come in a big way. And again, the wonderful thing about it is I'm not trying to hoard up resources. We are a funnel. One of the greatest joys I have is to stand in front of my church and let them know that they, whether they know it or not, or whether they want it or not, and I know they do, they're a blessing to the nations.
Amen.
Because we're a funnel. And our heart is the advancement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can go and we can send.
Amen.
And so I found out the need for revelation. I found out the need for sowing and reaping. I found the need. But then I found out also the third thing I want to share. We won't go too much longer. And then maybe I have a certain thing in my heart that will pray for people, okay? This might sound like an off topic, but the third thing is praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Now, if you're here tonight and that's new to you, that we'd be happy to pray with you after service, talk to you about it. But God designed the born-again human spirit to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit is that you pray in other tongues, you speak in other tongues. And so over the course of this time, we were growing little by little. But again, you know, your current breakthrough could become your next limitation if you're not careful. Don't let yourself become settled. Always press forward. Always move forward. I think one of the greatest enemies to success is comfort. That's one of the greatest enemies, because when a man's uncomfortable, he'll do a lot of things to get out of that discomfort. But when you're comfortable, it's just a different type of person that just keeps pressing. So the cause has to be greater than you for you to go beyond comfort. Has to be greater than you. If it's only about you, you will stop at comfort. But if it's about humanity, you'll never quit. If it's about souls, you'll never quit. If it's about eternity, that you're not short-sighted, you're living for eternity, you'll never quit. And then there's no limit to where God can take you. And so we're moving forward. But again, in the midst of all of this, the revelation, the sowing, we're bumping up against challenges. And so I found out that in the our walk with God, when God reveals something to you, it can't just be left. Now, some things, may happen seemingly effortlessly. But when God gives you a vision for the future, there's going to have to be connected to that prayer in the Spirit. You're going to have to grab a hold of that thing and pray it through. What does that mean? That means you grab what God is showing you and you pray until you know it's settled. And so over the course of these 12 months, I knew I was doing the right thing. I knew I was going the right direction. But then I knew I'm missing something. God, this isn't going. I need some change. And so, you know, at that time, I didn't have too much space where we lived, so I'd go rent a hotel room for a few days, and I'd explain to my children, Daddy's not leaving because I'm gone sometimes. I'm gone now, so I don't want them to think that I'm in town but gone from them. So I explained to them, Daddy's not gone. I'm just going to be over here, and we're praying about some things for our family. And I would take time, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2, he who speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. That word mysteries is a very powerful word, because what it means is that there are things, that word mysteries means something that can only reach human intellect by divine revelation. That's what a mystery, that's what that word mystery means. Something that can only reach the human intellect by revelation. In other words, there are things that God has designed for you that can only get to your mind by praying in tongues. They'll never get there any other way. You'll never figure it out. You'll never do the math on it. It has to come in the Spirit. So I'd go pray. And I'm praying in tongues, and all of a sudden I'm getting words from God that strengthen me. I write them down, and I go back and I look at those words, and it's like I wrote them after it happened. But it was before. And as I'm praying, God begins to talk to me about what we shared a little bit about this morning, thinking bigger. That I want to take you beyond what you've seen. I want to take you into bigger things. I want to take you into greater things. And so in the middle of all this dissatisfaction, believing God for increase, I'm sensing in my heart, something's changing again. And so I set aside this time to pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 says, he who speaks in the tongue, his understanding is unfruitful, but his spirit prays. His spirit prays. How many of you know your mind doesn't know some things? But God's Spirit does. And when we spend time praying in the Spirit, we get granted access to those mysteries, those things that God has planned for us. And so any aspect of your spiritual life will never be unlocked without prayer in the Spirit. You know, my sister was having some health challenges, and they couldn't figure out what's going on. She's weaker and weaker, and all kind of symptoms and different things like that. So the next deal, you know, the next thing to do, there's no, you know, negative for this virus, not a bacteria, all these things. So they want to draw blood and start doing blood and start, figuring out what's going on. Well, my mom was praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, as she's praying, revelation came. She's deficient in a mineral. My mom had me when she was 17. She didn't go to high school, science. She went and got that within 24 hours. Her health was perfect. There's just some things in life that will unlock when we pray in the Spirit. And I think it's one of the areas of our Christian life that we maybe neglect. And it's easy to neglect nowadays because there's so many other distractions. But I guarantee you, can I give you a guarantee? Two people. Yes, I am. But that's okay. I'm just saying. Actually, it's very comforting because this happens to me all over the world, you know. So it's just, if you will take 30 minutes a day, detached from everything, and pray in tongues for the next several weeks, I guarantee there will be something different about your life.
Amen.
Guarantee it. And that's based upon the integrity of God's word. And so I'm praying in the Spirit, you know, and this time spent in prayer not only got us past some of our challenges that were at the time, but God began to talk to me about, he told me a couple things. Number one, he said, build a platform from which you can go to the world. I said, okay. That sounds good, you know. Then he told me, I want you to own land and buildings. In my kingdom. I want my kingdom to own land. You know, the devil's kingdom owns a lot of land. He said, I want you to own land. And he told me acres. I don't know if you go by acres here. He said, I want you to have acres. Well, that's wonderful, right? How many of you say, whoo, thank you, Lord, yeah. But the only problem is we couldn't have gotten a loan on a payment. I couldn't have borrowed money to make a payment on something like that. But over the past few years, I learned that that's not the place to start to figure something out. I got excited. I said, God, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this over the last few years. You're about to do something wild, aren't you? I said, let's roll. Let's roll. And so I began to pray and believe God. I talked to a few people in the church, and they kind of, you know, looked at the lights and counted them a little bit, you know. And I said, well, you know, Abraham had a promise, didn't he? And he considered his body. And then his body looked at the ceiling and counted the lights. And then he considered it not.
That's right.
And then he rejoiced,
That's
giving
right.
glory to God, and was strengthened in faith.
Amen.
I said, well, I'm just not going to consider what it looks like anymore. I believe God. So I told my wife, I said, come on, let's go. We're just going to drive around. You know, sometimes walking by faith, you look like a real weirdo. We're just driving around. Where are you going? Claiming land.
Amen.
I don't know. Claiming land. So we started driving around, just looking. All right, there's a building. There's land. Come on, I believe land.
Amen.
Ownership. Not another man's. The kingdom of God. Increase for the gospel. He didn't say build a platform from which you can promote your personality. No, he said build a platform from which to take the gospel to the world. I said, let's do it. So over these next few months, I began to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Father, I don't know how to pray for this like I ought to, but you know. I know the devil's not telling me that we should own land. I know it's not my ego. I believe that you're going to bring us into it. Now, I'm going to spend this time praying in the Spirit. So I pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Towards the end of that year, I got a message from a church that was in the town just near us. And their pastor was a radical pastor. He blazed the trail in that community. He believed like we believed. And he reached the end of his ministry. He was ready to step down. But they needed someone to come in and carry on what he began. And so they'd been looking. They'd been working. They'd been had different people come in. And then they found that we believe like they believe. You know, when he was a pastor in the building that I preach in, they had Charles Capps, Jerry Savelle, Lester Sumrall. Man, people said, yeah, they've been in this area. I said, nobody, you know, God told you the story today. That lady got healed, didn't even come to church. I said, no, nobody here likes Lester Sumrall. No, he wouldn't come here. Yeah. And so we began to talk to them, and we were able to help that pastor retire and enter in to carry on that work. And we were able to take possession of 26 acres of land debt-free. With two buildings. Fully. On a major interstate in Kentucky. Build a platform from which you can reach the world. Come on, we're going to build studios. We're going to build all... Huh? And we're going to carry on the legacy of where other people pioneered the word of faith.
Amen.
And there's just no limitation to where God will bring you if you'll follow him. And so I believe God wants to do extraordinary things in the lives of his people. To advance his gospel. To advance his kingdom. And God loves you. Don't get me wrong. He wants you blessed. It doesn't do him any good for his children to be defeated. The problem is, and this has happened too much, is that Christians fall in love with things. Things don't have a destiny. People do. Things should serve you. Things are tools. We want to build the best because it represents the kingdom of God. And God wants to bring us all up. And I believe that just exactly what the theme is, freedom in finances. Freedom. And so you'll have to guard yourself against the temptation to quit pressing. Don't ever quit pressing. Like I said, if you keep your vision eternal, you'll always push for more. Because it means another lost soul. Less people in hell, more people in heaven.
Amen.
But the Spirit of God is desiring to bring us into a wealthy place. That we would, and so I really believe, you know, I know people, you know, it's funny, you have that in the middle on purpose, the revelation, wah, and then the prayer of the Spirit, woo, and then the giving, And again, I'm not trying to, I'll never take anything from anybody. I've made it a point. Come on, I like what Abraham said. He said, I don't want nothing you have. For no man will say he made Abram rich. No man. No, I don't want that. Only God can take credit for what's happened. Only God. I don't want it. If man can do it, it's too small. If man can do it, it's too small. I don't want anything. I want no favors. I know we have favor. I'm just saying, I want God to be evidently known as involved. It's really hard to argue with those results. And so, but you know, there's something about that that really positions you to be able to facilitate increase. Because like we talked about earlier, some people, prosperity will be the death of them. It will be the death of them. So in other words, you really can't even step into it until you master it. Because as a good father, not that he won't bless you and provide for you, but there were levels of prosperity that I happened to avoid until I grew some. Because it would have ruined me. And I'm not saying that God is testing you with poverty, because God will never test you with what he's redeemed you from. But if God sees you love things, then you block the divine ability. And so one of the ways that you destroy the power of covetousness isn't to take a vow of poverty, but it's to take a vow of generosity. Because generosity breaks the voice of holding.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, if you feel like you're holding on too tight, you might just have to do one good offering. And it might not be a lot. Some of my greatest generosity was with the least amount. Because generosity is not a numerical. It's a percentage, right? And there's times where I might have given the least, but I gave all I had. So really, generosity is available to everybody. And one of the ways you position yourself to facilitate and funnel wealth is generosity. I honor God, your Lord, not money. Well, you say, well, you only say that when you don't have any, you know? In other words, Jesus is Lord, not money, meaning I'm broke. But you also say that when you're wealthy, your Lord, not money. So boom. And people drop off when the money comes. Because the percentage of things, you know, well, that's a too big of a dollar amount. How is it too big when before you had nothing? Now you think you have something, so I can't give tithe of this. This is too big of an amount to tithe on. Phooey. Money just became superior. I'm leaving in the morning. Ah! I just got to make it one more night. These are great things to get a hold of, though, huh?
Yeah, that's good.
So there is no limit. Come on, I don't care how much comes in. I know there's a certain percentage that doesn't even get touched, doesn't even get looked at, doesn't even get considered. That's never even counted as ours. Doesn't matter. Automatically gone. Before it came, gone. And I believe that when we do these things, we're able to steward tremendous wealth.
Amen.
And I don't want to do anything average. Amen? I don't want to do anything average, including prosper. I don't want to prosper average. Hallelujah. So these are three good things, I believe, that we can apply to our life. Revelation. Maybe there's an area of your life that something's not clicking. You need to see some things. Get alone with Him. He'll show you. He's never not showed me. Anytime I've asked, why is this holdup? Why is it? He's never not helped me. Never. Generosity, right? You break the power that money has. You show it who's boss. You honor the Lord. And then you pray in the Spirit. Amen. Let's just humble ourselves. Let's just lift our hands, humble ourselves. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We want nothing but your will done in our lives, in our ministries. Oh God, what a shame it would be to spend our life in what we think is ministry, serving ourselves. May all we do be like the woman that anointed your feet before you went to the cross. Tonight, again, we pour our lives out at your feet. We anoint you with our lives. All that we are is because of what you've done. Father, thank you for your Spirit, for your word that instructs us, that corrects us, that empowers us, that enables us to receive of our divine inheritance, to manifest the reality of your resurrection to our generation. That along with your power, we're vessels of generosity. That we express love through generosity. Love for you, love for people, and a proper understanding of money. That we don't love it. It serves us. It's a tool to use in your eternal kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus talked in the Gospels about making friends for ourselves in eternity through unrighteous money. That your money can be used, right? What you buy at the store, nothing you buy at the store, nothing you go buy at the mall is going to go with you into eternity. Nothing. But when you use your resources for the kingdom of God, that's the only way money goes into eternity. It's the only way. Souls. When you get to heaven, he says, you make friends in eternity through your use of money. Come on, I tell my church all the time, you're going to get to heaven. If you've ever given a dollar to this church, you're going to get to heaven. And there's going to be people there because you gave. And I believe God, I'm believing for increase to increase that. Everything else is done. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.